Begin the current daven sechtes yumad daf samaches. We begin 10 lines down at the top of the amud, where the gemara continues the discussion with the previous daf, and that is our mishnah on the bottom of amud beis on the previous daf. We spoke about the continuation of the seder avodas hayoyim of the kohen gadol yom kippurim, and that is he had sent away the sar lazazel, and then when he sent that away, so then he went back to the par and the sar of hapanimi. Those are the par of the kohen gadol and the sar lashem, which he brings the bloods inside the kadosh hakadoshim and the pareches mizbeach hazav. Then he spills out the blood. Then our Mishnah said, then they go ahead and they take it, what they're called the Parm HaNisrafim, they take them to burn them outside of the three Machnas. So that the Mishnah told us that they tie them up in type of a braid, four Kahanim carry it outside. And then the Mishnah concluded by saying that there's a pasuk that tells us that HaSeirif Oysa Michabes Begadim, the one that burns the Parm and the Sirim HaNisrafim, their clothing have to be washed, and that is they become tamei. So the Mishnah concluded with a machlekes me'emes semitam begadim. From when is it that their garments become tamei? That's where our Gemara continues quoting from me'emes semitam begadim. From when is it that their garments become tamei? We had a machlekes. Either one opinion holds that it's from when they left the azara, the walls of the courtyard. That's the first of the three machnas. Their garments already became tamei. And then we had the opinion of Reb Shimon, who said that no, it's only when mishayatzis or beruban, when the majority of the par or the sar that's getting burnt was on fire already, then their garments would become tamei, but not before that. So the Gemara quotes a brisa, the Rabban who learned the brisa, which will clarify the opinion of the Tanakama that the garments of the ones who are burning it will become tamei the moment they leave the first of the three machnas, that is machna shchina, machna via, and machna yisrael. The machna shchina is the base of Migdash, which includes the Azar, the courtyard. When you leave the first machna out of the courtyard, as it's quoted that opinion in our Mishnah, that's when their garments will become tamei. So the Gemara quotes a brisa. It's a pasuk in Vayikra that says, it's a Vayikra tezayin, pasuk chavzayin, says, v'ispar hachatas, that there was the bull of the chatas, that was the one that the Kohen Gadol was carbon, v'isir hachatas, and then there was the he-goat of the chatas, that was the sar la-Hashem for the Jewish people, asher huveh has damam l'chapar b'kodesh, that their blood was brought inside the holy areas to provide an atonement, and as the Gemara continues quoting that pasuk, yeitzi al-mechutz la-machne v'sarfu, that they should be taken out of the camp and burnt, and the pasuk there concludes, be'esh, should be burnt in the fire, asayroysam, v'espesarim, v'espirsham, their hide, their flesh, and their waste. Now, the Gemara says, the Brisa says the following drasha. Lahalon, over there, and that is a reference to the Par Ha'eda and the Kohen Mashiach, and that is when the Par Helam Dava, when the entire Jewish people do an Avera based on the Pesach of Bezin, or when the Kohen Gadol does an Avera based on an erroneous Pesach that he himself made. On that, the Brisa is contrasting what the Halacha is over there, which they are also Par Manasrafim, that their avoidance of their blood are done inside the Heichel, and their flesh is burnt outside, which is generally not the case, but that's the halacha of Parim and Seir Manasrafim. So they're burnt outside. And also by regarding the parents of Yom Kippurim, they're also, their avoidance, their bloods are done inside, and their meat is burnt outside. Now, so the Bryce is contrasting. Over there, at the Nois and Lehem, you give them for their burning, you do it outside of Shalosh Machnas, out of three camps. And that is, as we said before, the Azara is one camp that you go out of. Harabayis, which correlates to the Machna Leviyah, that you go out of the Temple Mount. And then Yeb Yushalayim, which is Machna Yisrael, you go out of that, as the Gemara will later on illustrate how we know that. So therefore, by there you say that it's out of three Machnas. Yet Vakan over here by the Par Nasar of Yom Kippurim, Atanois Lamachna Achnas. You're only giving them that you take it out of to burn it out of one camp, and that is outside the Chaimis Azara, because the Pasuk says, El Mechutz Lamachna, as we just quoted the Pasuk, that you take it out of the camp, which is singular, Besorfa, and you burn it, which is Mashma, that you're going to burn it out of one Machna, out of the Machna Shechina, which is out of the Azara, right away when you enter into the Machna Leviyah, which is the Har Abayis. Now, that's difficult, as Rashi explains, because these are also what we call the panemium, those that their bloods are put inside the holy areas. And we equate all those animals that they get burnt regarding that when they're whichever animals have their bloods thrown inside the Beis HaMikdash, inside the Heichel, which generally their bloods are thrown on Mizbech HaChitzen, those that have their bloods being brought inside, which are the Par Helam Dover, the Par Kohen Mashiach, the Par and the Sar of Yom Kippurim, we equate them all regarding the halachas, A, that they get burnt, and B, that their garments, whoever's involved in that, their garments become tummy, as we say regarding the Par Helam Dover, where there the Pasuk says, he should do for the bull, as is done for the bull of the chatas. Now, all of that is used as for a drasha as this is brought in Masechta Zvachim and Masechta Menachos, where the Gemara there darshans what's that you should do la par like you're doing for the parachatas. That's a reference to the par Yom Kippurim. And this is, it's really from Teres Kehanim where we're comparing that it's what it says for the par HaMdavar, that's what it says you should do la par, you should do the same thing for the par of Yom Kippurim. And same thing the other way. We compare where it says by par Yom Kippurim, where it says hachatos, hachatos two times, where it says ves par hachatos, ves sir hachatos. So that the Bryce and Teres Kehanim wants to know what's this repetition of chatas chatas. So that's because the only source of being metami the garments of those that are involved in burning these parments, irim ha panimim, that their bloods are thrown inside the heichal, it only says it by the par of Yom Kippurim. How do you know to include also the par koin Mashiach and the par helm dove and the seer of a desara? That's what it says, chatas chatas. So but the short of this is that we see from different places where we equate all of them. We either learn one from the other, we learn, let's say, regarding the par and sar of Yom Kippurim, regarding where the Srefa is from the other ones of the par helm dove and the par koin Mashiach. We learn par helm dove and par koin Mashiach regarding that the garments become tummy from the par and sar of Yom Kippurim. They're all in the same category. We compare all their halachas. And therefore, the difficulty is, imkein lama nemer mechutz lamachne. So why does the Torah tell you that when you go out of the machne, that's where the halacha of the par and the sar of Yom Kippurim will apply? But it's not true, because we know, as we learn now from Par Helm Dov and Par Koin Mashiach, that it's actually burned out of three machnas. So what does it say out of one camp? Rather, it must be that when the Torah is telling you, El Mechutz L'machna, that's not a reference to where it's being burnt. Rather, that's a reference to the garments becoming tummy that's written right after that, where the Pasuk then goes on to say, V'hasarif Oysim Mechabes Begadav, that the one that burns them will have to wash his garments. Lo'im L'cha to tell you, Kivin Shiyatza Chutz L'machna Achnas, once the Koyin, the ones that are involved in taking this to be burned, once they leave the first camp, which is already the wall of the Azara, which is leaving Machne Shechina, Mitam and Begadim, that will already immediately be Mitam of the garments. And that's like the opinion of the Tanakam of our Mishnah, who his opinion was that once they left already the wall of the Azara, their garments would become Tame. And as Rashi tells us, that's also that actually Par Koin Mashiach is actually learned from over here. That because it doesn't say even in the Pasuk itself of Par Koin Mashiach that their garments are going to become Tame. Rather, as we just said before, from Chatas Chatas, that it says, regarding the ones of Yom Kippurim, what is it repeated, Seirah Chatas and Parah Chatas, to tell you that those other Chatois HaPanimim, their also garments will become Tameh, and actually that they learn that it will be once you leave in the Chemes Azara, because that's the learning that we're teaching over here, that says Machna Achas, it's saying that when you go out of Chutz LaMachna, that's one camp, to tell you regarding the halacha of the garments becoming Tameh. So again, that's what the Braisa said, that there was this challenge about how can we say that regarding the Par and the Sar of Yom Kippurim, that you're going to take it outside of the Machna, which sounds like one Machna, yet we know that it's burnt and it's taken out of three camps to be burnt, because we equate it to the Par Koy Mashiach and Par Helm Dover, which regarding the halachas of burning is out of the three Machnas. And so therefore, what is it, one Machna? That's regarding a different halacha, what the Pasuk then continues after that, regarding the garments that become tamets after one Machna. And actually, that's where we learn out the other ones, the Par Helm Dov and Par Kamashiach. They're learned from over here by the Par Sar Yom Kippurim, that their garments become tamay after leaving one Machna. Now the Gemara asks, however, V'hasim and Nolan. Now, one of the assumptions the Braisa had was that you cannot say that this going out of one Machna, the Par Sar Yom Kippurim, is regarding where it's burned, because we know that they all have the same halacha, and we know regarding the Par Helm Dov Shel Tzibur, and regarding the Par Koin Mashiach, that they're burnt out of three machnas. So now the Gemara asks, how do you know that they were burnt out of three machnas? So the time, like, learn the Braisa. It says in the Pasuk, V'hoitzi es kol ha-par, regarding the Par Koin Mashiach, it says that he should take out the entire par, and that is chutz l'sholosh machnas. That means it's being taken out of the three camps, but that's where it's burnt. Now, so the Braisa clarifies. Are you going to say it's out of the three camps? Or maybe when it's saying you should take it out, it means you take it out of one camp and not all three. However, the Braisa says, when it says regarding the Parhelm Davishal Tzibur, regarding the Machna of the Jewish people, when they do a sin based on the Roni's Psak of Bezdin, it says in the Pasuk, El Mechutz LaMachna, you should take it out of the camp. Now, in Tamalayma, that's not teaching us anything where it says over there a singular, you should take it out of one camp. Because it already says in the Pasuk, over there, v'sorf oisoi, kasher sorf as a paharishin, you should burn this one, the par helm davar shel tzibur, as you burnt the first bull, which is a reference to the par koin Mashiach, which we already know is out of the machne, because it tells us to take it out. So if we're saying that the par helm davar shel tzibur is like the par koin Mashiach, which means to say that you should take it out like you take out the other one. So what is it teaching me when it says, what's it teaching when you take it out of the camp? I already know you have to take it out of at least one camp, because we're comparing it to Par Kain Mashiach, which he has to also take it out. So rather, lid le machna shniya. So when it says that you should take it out of the camp, it means to say take it out of another camp, a second one. So not only does it have to leave machna shchina, it also has to leave machna levia. Now, so we only know that, and since we compare all the halachas, so we know both of them so far have to go out of two camps. However, ukshu aymen mechutz lamachna b'deshin, when it says regarding taking out the ashes of the top of the mizbeach, which is where the karbanos are burnt all through the night, all the different limbs and the sacrificial parts, so it says that in the morning they would do trumas adesh, and then v'hitzi asadesh l'mechutz lamachna. Then they would take out the excess of all the ashes that were there, they would remove it and bring it out of the camp. Now, shein tamalayma. That's not teaching us anything that you have to take it out of the camp, the leftover ashes, because I would have known without the pasuk telling me that you have to take it out. Why is that? Because it already says by the Parm HaNisrafim, which again are those bulls that their bloods are brought inside, that they have to be burnt out of the machne, it says, El Shefech HaDeshin, that they have to be brought to the place where the ashes are poured, where it says over there by the Parm HaNisrafim that they're taken out of the camp. So why do I have to say that ashes are taken out of the camp? I know that. Because it says that the ones that are taken out of the camp are burnt where the ashes are. So obviously we know the ashes are out of the machna. So why does it have to say that you take it out of the machna? So that, the Braisa says, ten loy machna shlishes. Obviously that's telling you to take it out of another camp. And that's why it says again take it out of the camp, which tells you that there's three camps it's taken out of. Not only from the Azara, and not only from the Harabayas, but even from Yerushalayim, even from the Machne Yisrael. And that's, again, that answers why the Braisa, the earlier Braisa, had assumed that you cannot say when you're taking out the Par and the Sar of Yom Kippurim, that it means out of one camp, because we know that all the halachas of these Parim and the Sarafim are all the same, which are the taken out of the three camps, and therefore must be talking about a different halacha, that of the Tanakama of our Mishnah, which is where the garments become Tame, when it leaves that one camp. And this Braisa had clarified how we see it, that we know that they're burnt out of three camps because they're redundant, and therefore they must be teaching another machna, so it's out of three machnas that they are burnt. Now the Gemara goes back, so that clarified the opinion of the Tanakam of our Mishnah, who said that the garments become tummy of those that are going out to burn the Parm and the Sirim and the Srafim when they leave the Chaim HaSazar. However, the Gemara asked Reb Shimon that he says in our Mishnah that the garments do not become tummy the moment they leave the Chaim HaSazar. It's up until when the majority of these animals are on fire. Hai mechutz lamachne, so this term of mechutz lamachne, which is written by the Par and the Sar of Yom Kippurim, so ma'avli, what does he do with it? In other words, the Tanakam of our Mishnah, he held that it's coming to teach you that their garments become tummy the second they leave that first machne, which is the wool of the Azara. But Reb Shimon does not hold like that. He holds his only much later point. So what is this term mechutz lamachne coming to teach us? So that the Gemara answers, mi boi le dekitanya. He needs it for the following halacha, which is taught in the Braisa. Reb Laza says, nemer kan. It says over here by the Par of Yom Kippurim, mechutz lamachne, which this is the term which is extra according to Reb Shimon, which he's going to use it for a different halacha, that of a gzeris shavar, to compare to a different halacha. Because it says over here by the Par of the Yom Kippurim, out of the camp. V'nem l'halna says over there also by the Par Aduma, mechutz lamachne, that it says that the avoid of the Par Aduma is done out of the camp, where it says in Bamidbar Yates, v'hoitzi oisel mechutz lamachne, that's taken out of the camp. Now, therefore, they make the following gzeris shavar, and it goes both ways to gzeris shavar. Makan, just like over here by the Parm HaNisrafim, again, which is this whole category, which is, includes the Parv Yom Kippurim, that they're chutz l'sholosh machnos, they're burnt out of the three camps, that everyone agrees to because they're all equated, and there's extra words, mechutz l'machna, by the Par Helm Dover and the Par Kray Mashiach, and by the and taking out the ashes, the deshen, therefore we know it's three camps. So Afla Halan, the Gzeir Shavah teaches you to compare the slaughtering of the Par Aduma to the where it's being burnt, the Par of Yom Kippurim, because they both say the term of Mechutz L'machna, to tell you Chutz L'Gimel Machnas, that the slaughtering of the Par Aduma, its Avodah is done out of the three camps. Now the Gzeir Shavah works in the reverse too. Now Umala Halan, just like over there by the Par Aduma, B'Mizracha Shel Yerushalayim, it's taken out of the three camps, as we know because we're comparing it to Par Yom Kippurim. But it's done towards the east of Yerushalayim. And that is because the Pasuk says that it should be done El Noichach Pnei Oil Moed, facing the opening, the entryway of the Heichel of the Beis HaMikdash. So obviously that means that the Kohen that's doing the Avodah on the Par Aduma is on the eastward, and he's facing westward towards the opening of the Heichel, which that's by the western wall, which is open on the east. Therefore that means obviously you're on the eastern part. So Afkan, so there the Gezeirah Shavah tells us that also over here, by burning of the par of Yom Kippurim, our b'mizrach shel Yerushalayim is also on the eastern part of Yerushalayim. And that's what the Gezeirah Shavah teaches. It teaches both ways halachas, for the par Adumah and the par of Yom Kippurim, which are the par and the Sraphim. And therefore, that's what Reb Shimon does with the term of Mechutz LaMachna, not to tell you that out of one machna when your garments become tamei, because actually they only become tamei later on, but it comes to teach this Gezeirah Shavah. So then the Gemara asks, the Rabbanon, according to the Tanakam of a Mishnah, that they used a pasuk for something else, as we said, for the garments becoming tamei, and therefore they don't have this Gezeirah Shavah, because it's not an extra word, Mechutz LaMachna, to compare it to par Adumah. So Hechasar Flu, where do they burn the par of Hanasrafim? In other words, which direction from Yerushalayim is the par of Yom Kippurim burnt? So that the Gemara says, because it sounds like the Braisa. The Braisa says, Hechen Nisrafim, where are they burnt? So the Gemara continues in Amud Beis, that the Tanakhama says, Litzvayna shel Yerushalayim, to the northern part of Yerushalayim. And the reason is because, since this is a Chatas, the par and the Sar of Yom Kippurim, these parim that's brought inside, the parim and the Srafim, are a chattas, they're Kodesh Kodeshim. Now, Kodesh Kodeshim are done in the northern part of the Azara, and therefore, it's being done in the northern part of Yerushalayim, v'chutz l'shosh machnas, and out of three camps. So not like it was learned from the other opinion, according to Rabbi Shimon, that it's being done on the eastern part, because we compared it to Paraduma. Rather, it's done in the northern part, because it's a chattas. Rabbi Yesi says, where is it burnt? He says, abeis hadesh in Israfen. It's burnt on the place where the ashes were brought out of the machna. And that is what that means, is that they first had to have the deshen, the leftover ashes from the Bech, had to first be brought there, so that it could be called a place of Shefach HaDeshen. And therefore, that's where you could then go ahead, because that's what the Pasuk actually says. It says that you should bring it, you should burn these animals where the Shefach HaDeshen is, where the ashes were poured on. So he holds that actually it's an integral component. You have to first get the ashes and then pour them there, and then you can burn the Parma and the Sarafim over there. And that's the place where they would burn it. Now, however, the inference is that the Tanakhama holds that you don't have to actually have where the ashes are poured to require that's where the burning of the permanent suffering will be. So therefore, Amar Rava, Rava says, Man Tana de Palagal Ad Rabbi Yosi. Who is the Tana, which is the first Tana of this that we're quoting now, of this Braisa that argues on Rabbi Yosi and holds that you don't have to actually have the ashes poured over there. And that, and he just says it's the northern part of Yerushalayim. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, so he says it's Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, that he says that we don't have to have the actual ashes poured. The term Shefach HaDeshen just means a slanty area that has a slope where that's where the ashes would be poured, and that is they would fall down, they would roll down. That's what the term Shefach HaDeshen means. The Tanakh learned the Braisa. The Pasuk of Mayukra says, El Shefach HaDeshen, to the place where the ashes are poured, Yisraf, that's where it should be burnt. So the Tanakhama there learns, Shehele Hashem Deshen, that should be the place where the ashes are. So that's like the opinion of Rabbi Yosi. But that's when Yaakov Amir, he argues. He says, Shehei Mekoyim Meshubach, it just means that its place should be a place where it would pour, where it's slanty, it needs to have a slope, that's where we go ahead and burn the parma and the Sraphim, but not that it actually has to be ashes over there. And therefore, that's what Rava says, that's the Tanakhama of Rabbi Yosi in the Braisa we just brought before, that he didn't say that it has to be on where the ashes are, it just has to be the northern part, because it's a chattas out of three machnas, but it doesn't have to be an actual ashes. However, Amalei Abaya argues on Rav, and he says, how do you know that the Tanakhama of Rabbi Yosi in the Braisa we brought before, that he argues that you don't have to have it on the ashes, but V'dilma b'mekayim m'shupachu d'pligi. Maybe they're arguing regarding if it has to be on a slope. And that is, maybe Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov agrees that the ashes have to be there first. It's just that he also requires it to be a slanty place. And maybe that's what the other Tana is also agreeing to Rabbi Yosi, that yes, you have to have the ashes. Just that they're arguing if you have to have additionally a slope too. And if Abai says it's not conclusive that there's anybody that argues that you don't need ashes, then maybe you do need the ashes. It's just they're arguing on an additional component, not that they're arguing al shevach adeshin, that it means that you don't have to have ashes. Just saying, does it also have to be a slope that it pours down? And that's what Rabbi Yosi actually will hold that it doesn't need. And Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov was holding that you additionally need not only the ashes, but also a place where they would slope downwards. Now the Gemara goes back to, again, to this machlokes we were talking about of our Mishnah regarding the time when the garments of those who are burning the parim and the sirim and the srafim, when do the garments become tamei? As we said that the Tanakhama, the Rabbanan held, that's once you leave the wall of Azar, and Reb Shimon held, that's when the majority of the animal take hold of the fire of their bodies. So on that, the Gemara will quote a Braisa that seems to be going like the opinion of Reb Shimon. So learn the Braisa. The Pasuk of Mayikra says, V'hasayif. Now the entire Pasuk of Mayikra to Zayin, Pasuk of Ches says, V'hasayif oisam, and those that will burn them, that these are the Parim and the Sirim and the Srafim of Yom Kippurim, Ichabes begadav, they will wash their garments, V'rochet says, Pesar b'mayim, and then they'll wash their bodies in water, V'achrechen yovel machne, and then they could come back into the camp. Now, so therefore the Brisa says, when it says V'hasayif, that one who will burn it, it's Hasayif. It's the one that's involved in burning the animal itself, as it says in the Pasuk, oisam, which means to say if he's assisting during the actual burning. Now, and that's what Rashi says, that this Tan is going to Grib Shimon, that holds that the garments only become tummy once the majority of the animal has the fire taken hold of it. So therefore, this is what the Brisa is telling you, that when are you a person that has to wash your garments, that you become tummy, because you're burning it is actually if you're the Hasayiv, then your garments become tummy. However, v'loy ha-matzis ha-sa'ur, not the one that lights the fire, v'loy ha-masadis ha-marach, not the one that organizes the piles of wood and the coals. Now, v'ezehu ha-sa'ur, so who is the one that is considered the one that's burning it? Which again, according to the opinion of Reb Shimon, is when it's taken hold of fire, that then if you're involved in that process, then your garments become tummy. That's somebody that assists during the time when it's burning, then you're from those people that has to be chabes begadim. Now, the Brisa says, Yachal af mishanasu eifer metam begadim. You would think even when it's already ashes and you're still going ahead and moving it around, you're involved in that burning, that then a person would have to still wash their garments. Tamalayma oisam, that's what the Pasuk says. No, it's v'hasayif oisam, the one that will burn them. Oisam metam begadim, the animal is something that is metami, the garments. But once it turns into ashes, it's not the animal anymore. It's now a new entity of ashes. Someone that's involved in that process of the procedure of the burning of the paraduma will not have to wash his garments. He says a different version. He says, "Hapar metame." It's the bull that transmits tuma, and therefore nita chabaser. If the animal has already decomposed, has already fall apart through the process, then it does not transmit tumah to the garments. So the Gemara says, might be now, what's the difference between them? It sounds like they're really saying the same thing. And that the Gemara says, the difference between them is when it's basically turned into like a piece of wood, like a hard charcoal type of thing, where you already have this, quote, nitzach habasa, the meat has already decomposed, it's not like meat anymore. However, it's not yet ashes. It didn't totally fall apart into ashes. And therefore, according to Tanna Kamma, it would still transmit tumah for the one that's involved in it until it turns into ashes, because that's still called oisam. Whereas according to Elizabeth Shimon, once you make it into this type of like a charcoal, then it's not going to transmit tumah because it's not called a bull anymore. It's not an animal. It's like a piece of wood. It's like a hard charcoal. And that would be the difference between those two different opinions. And again, this is a clarification in the opinion of Reb Shimon that the tumah of the garments of the ones who were involved in the burning, it is not once you leave the Chemes Azar as the Tanna Kamma of our Mishnah, but rather when the fire is actually taken hold of most of the animal, then the Brisa clarified what part of that process is going to be metame, the garments of the one that's v'hasayif oisam, that's burning it. Now the Gemara continues to the next Mishnah, continuing along this process that we were speaking about of the Sawyer HaMishtaleach, regarding when he sent away the Sawyer HaMishtaleach, and then they, at the same time, they were taking out the Parm and the Sirim HaNasrafim to burn them out of the three Machnas. So the Mishnah tells us that Amar Loi LeKohen Gadol, so they told the Kohen Gadol, he gives Sar LaMidbar, the Sar LaAzazel, it reached the desert. Now, like as Rashi explains, because the Kohen Gadol is not allowed to start the next Avodah until the Sar LaAzazel reaches the desert. Like it says in the Pasuk, so V'shilech has a Sar B'mid, but they sent the Sar, the Higo, to the desert. And only then does it say, V'shilu HaChatos Yaktar Mizbecha, that the fats of the Chatos, he would sacrifice them in Mizbech. So he had to wait. He would do the Vido, he'd send off the Sar Mishtaleach, and they took the animals that they had already taken out, the blood, and done the avodis, and they took out the sacrificial parts. They sent away the parm and the sarim hanisrafim. That's the par of the Kohen Gadol and the sar LaHashem. Now the Kohen Gadol waited, and then when he would hear the news that the sar LaAzazel reached the midbar, then he would continue doing. Now the Mishnah asked, Uminayin ho yoydin shigiyah solamid, but how would they know that the sar LaAzazel reached the desert? So the Mishnah explains, Dir koyes ho yoysin. They made a process, a domino, so to speak, line of people from Yerushalayim up until the tzuk, up until the cliff where he would take the Azazel to see the simon of the first one, and that is Umanifin Bisudarin. They would wave kerchiefs, and that is the one that was closest to the desert would see that he got there, so he would pick up the kerchief. Now the one closest to him would see that kerchief, so he would pick it up, and his friend would see it. All the way to Yerushalayim, they had this whole assembly line of individuals holding up kerchiefs, and therefore they would know that the star reached the desert because one would pick up and the other one would go all the way to Yerushalayim. They would tell the Kohen Gadol he reached there, and then you could continue. However, Amar Rabbi Yehuda says, what do you mean? There was a very great sign for them to know they didn't have to do this thing of the kerchiefs. Because Yerushalayim bad beis chedudai, from Yerushalayim up until the beginning of the desert, where that is according to the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, as the Gemara will clarify, is the fulfillment of Vishilich es asar b'midbar. You just have to wait till it was sent to the desert, not actually till it reached the cliff, was only shleisha milin, was 3 mil. Now, holchin mil, we know, as we said previously on the Samach Vav Mebeis, that the Chashuvim of Yerushalayim would escort the one that was taken Azazel to the cliff. They would escort him to the first sukkah, to the first tent, which was holchin mil. They went 1 mil, because there was a mil in between each one. V'chayzin mil, and now these Chashuvim would come back. Now, it took another mil to come back, because what they went, they had to come back. And therefore, all they had to do was v'shoyin kedei mil. They had to wait the amount of time that it takes to go a mil. The Yaidin Shigia saw the Midbar, and therefore they knew that the star had reached the Midbar, because since we know that the Midbar was 3 mil away, and they escorted him 1 mil, they walked back 1 mil, they waited 1 mil, so that you don't have to do this thing with the kerchiefs. They knew by just virtue of waiting 1 mil, once the Chashuvim came back, that he reached the Midbar. Shmuel Amihi says, what do you mean? They had a different sign to know that he reached already the Shlichas of the Azazel. Because Loshan Shal Zahiris Hayukasha Pisca Shalhechel. There was a red string that was tied around the entryway of the Hechel. Ukshagia Sar La Midbar, and when the star would reach the desert, Hayaha Loshan Malbim, then the red string would already turn white. Shanam, like it says in the Pasik, Im Yuchata Echim Kashonim, if your sins will be red like crimson, then Kashel Gelbinu, then they'll be white like snow. And therefore there's these three different versions in the Mishnah, how they knew that the star reached the Midbar so that the Kohen Gadol could continue doing what he's doing, either because they waved the kerchiefs one to the other and they had this domino effect all the way to Yerushalayim, or because those who escorted him with 1 mil to the first circuit would come back and then wait 1 mil, or because that red string would turn white and therefore they knew that he got there and therefore the Kohen Gadol could continue doing what he's doing, as will be said in the coming parak. Now, Om Abaye, Abaye just clarifies, he says, Shema Mino, what we can infer from the opinion of Rabbi Huda, that Beis Chidudei must be, this Beis Chidudei is Bamidbar Kaima. Must be, it's the beginning of the desert. V'ha'kamash Malan, and this is teaching us to accept Rabbi Huda. Obviously Rabbi Huda holds, Kivin Shagia Sar LaMidbar, once the Sar, the Higot, reaches just the beginning of the desert, is already Nasis Mitzvase, has already fulfilled his obligation of what's called Bishrilach Esasar Bamidbar, as long as he reached the desert, even before he reached the cliff. And therefore, that's what the coming parak will tell us, that the Kohen Gadol could already begin reading the parshas that he had to be reading on Yom Kippurim, because he couldn't do it until that was done, which was that the Beshilach, that he reached the Sar to the Midbar. So there was the two different versions. It sounds like that it was possibly up until the cliff, and Rabbi Huda is saying that no, as long as we got the 3 mil, which is the beginning of the desert, and we knew that by them going 1 mil, coming back 1 mil, and waiting 1 mil, that's enough for the fulfillment of that obligation, and therefore the Kohen Gadol could continue doing his process. Hadnolach Shnei Seiri, we shall return to you the 6th Perek Masechta Yuma, Perek Shnei Seiri. Now we continue with the 7th Perek Masechta Yuma, Perek Bala Kohen Gadol. Now this Perek continues along the procedure, which we said after the Sar LaAzazel was sent away, we had to wait till we knew that he got to the desert. Once we knew that he got there, then the Kohen Gadol could continue his process, again in the context of the 5 different phases. He was in the middle of the 2nd phase, which is that he had done the first phase of the Big Day Zahav, which was the Karban Tamid primarily. Then he did the 2nd one, which he went into the Big Day Lovin, which is he did his Par and his Sar, which included the lottery of the 2 Seirim, and doing their Achas Lamala Shabbat Lamata, and the Kodesh Kodesh, and the Pareches, and then doing the throwing the blood on the Big Day, on the Mizbeach Hazav, and then sending away the Azazel, and in between that was also the Keteris was done in that time period of the Big Day Lovin. Now that he sent away LaAzazel, and he knew he got there, and the Parm and the Siman Srafim were taken out to be burned, now the Kohen Gadol would continue. So Bola Kohen Gadol Likris. Now the Kohen Gadol came to read the Parsha, which we learn from Miluim, which is mentioned in the first Perek of Hayim Beis, that we know by the Miluim, by the 7 days when Aaron HaKohen was being trained into the Avodah for the first time in the Mishkan, that even reading of the Parsha, the parashas would tell us what should be done, that the Kohen Gadol had to read those parashas. So that we learn that from Miluim regarding every Yom Kippurim, that the Kohen Gadol had to read the parashas which talk about the avodas of Yom Kippurim. So the Kohen Gadol came to read from the Sefer Torah. So the Mishnah tells us, Im Rotza Likris Bebigdei Butz, if he wants to read with the white linen garments that he was wearing up until now, which is what the avodas Hayyim are done with, the special avodas of Yom Kippurim are done with the Bigdei Lavan. So if he wants to, he can read them. He can read it by wearing still the white linen garments. Vimlav, if he doesn't want to continue wearing the white linen garments, which are special for Yom Kippurim, then Kari B'itzlis Lavan Mishalai, then he could read it with his own white robe, with his own white garment. He could wear it. He doesn't have to wear specifically the Bigdei Lavan that are specific for the days of Yom Kippurim. Now, the Mishnah continues and tells us that there was a shul that was near the courtyard on the Harabayas. So they would go ahead and bring a Sefer Torah. So the first one that would go, Chazan HaKnesses, who is another name for the Shamash, he would be Notel Sefer Torah. He would go ahead and take the Sefer Torah from the shul, V'noisne L'Rosh HaKnesses, and then he would go ahead and give it to the head of the shul. And he's the one that gets to decide all the different jobs in the shul, who gets Mafter, who gets to daven for the Amid. So the Shamash would go ahead and give it to the one that was more chashiv, which was the Rosh HaKnesses. Then Rosh HaKnesses, Noisne L'Zgan, then the head of the shul, he would give it to the deputy Kohen Gadol. And then Maskan, this Kohen Gadol, and then this Kohen would give it to the Kohen Gadol. The Kohen Gadol, Omer Mekabel, and the Kohen Gadol would stand up and receive the Sefer Torah. The Kaire, and he would read then the parasha of Achri Mois, which there it talks about the Avodah of Yom Kippurim. The Achba Aser, and he would also read the parasha of Achba Aser, which talks about Yom Kippurim, which is the 10th of Tishrei, which is in Parashas Emor, a little bit later. There's Achri Mois, Kedoshim, then Emor. So in Parashas Emor was Achba Aser. Then the Goyel Sefer Torah Umanei Chai Bechekoi. Then he would roll up the Sefer Torah, he would close it, and he would hold it by his chest. And he would say, you should just know, everybody who's listening, that more than what I read from you from the Sefer Torah is actually written over here. And the Gemara will ask and explain why would he say such a statement. Then, then the parasha of Ba'aser, which is in Sefer Bamidbar, which that's in Parsha Pinchas of Sefer Bamidbar, is where the Parsha of Musafim are, which there's also Musafim for Yom Kippurim, that he would be Kari Al-Peh, that he would recite by heart. The Gemara will explain the reason why was that said by heart versus the other two were read from the Sefer Torah itself. Now, after he read these three different parashas, again in Parsha Achri Mois, Parsha Emor, and Parsha Pinchas, then Umavarch Alash Mayna Brachas. After he finished, he would say eight brachas after he finished reciting the parashas. First was Alat Torah, which is what of everyone when they get an aliyah in the shul, they make a bracha afterwards. Ashanos Lona Teras Emes V'Chay Oil Nata B'Secheinus. He would make that bracha on the Torah itself. The second bracha was Ve'al Ha'Avoda, which is generally the Berachas Ha'Avoda that we say in Shemayna Esrei, Ritzei Ba'amchi Yisrael, and the Avoda should be Merutza, B'Dver Be'Secha, and he concluded the way we conclude on the Yom Tov, Sha'ischa Lavadcha Be'Yir and Navad, that only you that we should serve in fear. So that was the second bracha. The third bracha was Ve'al Ha'Ida, which was the bracha of Moedim that we know, Moedim Anach Nalach, until Ha'Tov Lecha L'Hoidus. Now, as Rashi explains, the reason why he said a bracha on Avodah is for the Avodah that he was doing in the Beis HaMikdash. Now, the reason why he made a bracha of Haidah, of thanks, is because Haidah always comes after Avodah. And that's how we have it in davening. We have Moedim after Ritzei. As the Pasuk in Tehillim says, Zeveach Toide Chabdenani, that we see that Zeveach, after doing the Avodah of Zevichav in the Beis HaMikdash, then comes Toide, then comes thanks, which is the Haidah, which is Moedim. Then the next bracha was Vamachilas Oven, for the forgiving of the sins, which is what we say on Yom Kippur, men our davening, mechoy lavoy niseinu b'yom Kippur mazeh, until melech moichel v'seilech lavoy niseinu. Then he would make a bracha of ala mikdash b'fnei atzma, on the base of mikdash on its own. That is, he would be mispal on the temple, on the base of mikdash, and he would conclude, baruch shebacha b'mikdash, blessed is Hashem who has chosen the base of mikdash to rest his divine presence over there. Then v'al yisrael b'fnei atzma, he would make a separate bracha for the Jewish people. V'al yushalayim b'fnei atzma, and for yushalayim its own bracha. On the Kehanim on themselves. That is, he would daven for the Kehanim, and he would conclude, Baruch Shabachar Bezar Shal Aaron, blessed is Hashem who has chosen the children of Aaron to serve him. And that was the same idea by the Jewish people, that he chose the Jewish people from all the nations to serve him. And then Val Shahar Tvila, and then regarding all the other parts of davening, which the Gemara will explain what is that a reference to, but those were the brachas, the eight brachas that he said. Now, the Mishnah just clarifies by saying, whoever saw the Kohen Gadol when he was reading these three parashas, which then he had these eight brachas afterwards, in the Roya Par V'Sar HaNesrafim, he would not see the part of the Avoda of the Par Nesar being burnt out of the three Machnas. And the same thing in reverse. V'Roya Par V'Sar HaNesrafim, the one who would see the Par and the Sar being burnt outside, in the Roya Kohen Gadol Kishukai, was not seeing the Kohen Gadol when he was reading from the Sefer Torah from these three parashas. But the Mishnah tells us, V'Loimim Nesha Inir Shoi, it's not because he's not allowed to see both of them. Just there was a large distance because that had to be out of Yerushalayim, and this was being done in the Beis Hamikdash. And both of them were taking place at the same time, so it was just not feasible. You couldn't be seeing both the Kohen Gadol reading and seeing the burning of the Purim and the Seirim HaNisrafim. Now the Gemara makes a deek, an inference from our Mishnah. The Mishnah said that he comes to read, and the first two are from the Sefer Torah. The third one he does by heart. So it said that if he wants to, he could read it from with the white linen garments that he was wearing, that are the avodas hayom have to be worn with these four white linen garments. And if he wants, he doesn't have to, he could wear his own garments. Now, so the Gemara says, Midigtani be itzdalis lavin mishaloi. And the fact that it said if he wants to, he doesn't have to wear the big dekuna, which are unique to Yom Kippurim, of the four white linen garments, he could wear his own clothing, specifically a white linen, a white garment. So mechlal the kriya lav avaydihi. So we could infer that reading from the Sefer Torah was not considered one of the avaydas hayyim, because if it was, you would have to wear the big day kuhuna. You can't wear your own garments when you're doing avayda. Now, yet v'katani, and still our Mishnah tells us, imratza likris be big day butzkara. If he wants to, he could wear the white linen garments, the big day kuhuna, if he wants to when he's reading from the Sefer Torah. So shamet mino, we could infer from this that big day kuhuna nitnu litnas behen, that obviously the garments of kuhuna are garments that you have permission to have enough from them, even not during the avodah. In other words, you have to wear when you're doing avodah, but when you're not, you're deriving pleasure from them. And obviously we see that that's not a problem. There's no me'ila, there's no problem of wearing the big tikkunah, even when you're not doing the avodah, because he's reading from the Sefer Torah, and that's obviously not avodah, because he could wear his own garments. And yet we still allow him to wear the big tikkunah. Obviously there's no problem of having enough from them. And then the Gemara says, no, it's not a riot. Dil mishani kri, maybe kri is different because it's somewhere in between. And that is because ditzarech avoidi. It's still necessary for the avoidah. It itself is not considered an avoidah. So you don't have to wear the big dikuna. But it's integral for the part of the process of the day, because that's a chiv to rereading it. And therefore, since it's a tzarech of the avoidah, that's why you're allowed to wear the big dikuna. But if you totally were not involved in the avoidah, maybe it would be an isra of having a na from the big dikuna. So the Gemara says di boilan, because actually this was a question that we had that we then wanted to resolve from a Mishnah, which we said is not a riot. And the question was, big de kuhuna, the garments of kuhuna, nitnu lohanes ben, are you allowed to derive pleasure from them? In other words, even when you're not doing the avoda, or are you not allowed to derive pleasure? Like old kachim, you can't use it for your own personal pleasure. Does the same thing apply to big de kuhuna or not? So on that, the Gemara says, Toshima, come in here, Araya, although we couldn't prove it from our Mishnah, come in here and prove it, Araya, from a Mishnah Masechtas Tamid. The Mishnah there says, loy hayu yishenim be big de kodesh. The kahanim would not sleep in their holy big de kuhuna. Now, the inference is, shinahu delay. That's sleeping you don't, and that's because when sleeping, a person can pass gas, and that's not appropriate when wearing the big dikuna. However, it sounds like just sleeping. Hamechal achli, but when they're eating and they're doing their own personal needs, then they're allowed to wear the big dikuna. Obviously, you see that you're allowed to have enough in big dikuna. Nothing more says, no, it's not a riot. Dimashane achila, maybe that you're right. The inference would be that eating you could do, but maybe eating is different, and that's not considered having hanah for your own personal pleasure from the big dekuna, ditzarech avaydihi, because eating of the karbanas are also considered utility for avaydah. Kedetanik, learn the brisa. Says in the pasuk in Shemais, va'ochlu oisim, that they should eat it, asher kupar behem, that of which will be an atonement for them. And that's reference to the kahanim eating the karbanas, melamed, that teaches you, Shakahanim oichlim, that the kahanim eat the carbon, ubal meskaprim, and that actually provides an atonement for the owners. And therefore, that's not a raya that you can have personal pleasure, because eating, even though that's not one of the avodas per se, but it's still a component of kapara for the owners when the carbon is eaten by the kahanim, and that's why that's allowed to be done with the big day kuhuna. However, the Gemara wants to make a different inference. It only said sleeping they didn't do. However, shinahu delay, so sleeping they didn't, but it sounds like, but they were able to walk and take a hike or whatever it is with the kahana garments, so you see that it is allowed to have enough from it. So the Gemara says, no, bedinhu dihiluchi namilai. Truth is, not only that sleeping they didn't do, but even walking they didn't do, because you're not allowed to have personal pleasure from the big dikuna. However, the Gemara continues on top of samach tesem and alf, so why did they choose sleeping? Sleeping, it sounds like that there's another reason why it wouldn't be allowed to. You should have said walking even they cannot do. Another Gemara says, because of a sefer istrichalei. The end over there of that Mishnah was what we needed to necessarily pick the case of sleeping, because we wanted to say that there is a case of sleeping that actually is permitted. that you're allowed to go ahead and fold up the kohen's garments and put it under his head, and then we're not concerned, even though when you're sleeping there are inappropriate things that happen, specifically that the person could pass gas. However, since he has already taken off the garments, we don't care that he's right next to them. As long as he's not wearing them, it's not a problem. That's why we picked sleeping. And the truth is, don't make a deek, however, that walking would be permitted. Even walking is forbidden. However, we said sleeping because we wanted to say there is a case of sleeping that's actually permitted. Like the end of that Mishnah says, that Peshtin Umakaplan, they could take off and fold up the Kahana garments, Umanichan Tachas Yoshem, and put it under their heads, and that was permitted, and that was the Chiddush that we wanted to pick with sleeping, that that's okay, because even if he's going to pass gas, as long as he's not wearing it, that's permitted, and therefore there's no Raya that we see Big Dekuna permitted to have enough from them, because Hilucha was also Asr. However, the Gemara wants to ask, But you do see that Peshtin Umakaplin Umanichan Nesin Tachas Yoshem, that you could take off, fold it up, put it under your head. So Shamit Minah, we're going to infer from the Sefer of that Mishnah that Big Dikahun and Nolitus Ben, you see you are deriving pleasure from them because you're using it as a pillow. So yes, you're not showing that you could be wearing it not during the Avodah, but the fact that you could sleep on it, you're deriving pleasure, and therefore you see that you could have a Nah from the Big Dikahun. And then Amar Papa says, Loit Tema Tachas Yoshem. Don't read it that as the end of the Mishnah says, that they were able to put it under their head. Rather, read it that they put it on the side of their head. And that was okay in the sense of that, although they're going to pass gas, that even though it's right next to them, it doesn't make a difference because as long as they're not wearing it. And it's still not a right that you could derive pleasure from it because you're not doing anything with it. It's just right next to you. And not that you could put it under your head, but just on the side of your head. And what's the chiddush in that? And that we don't care that he's passing gas as long as he's not wearing it. However, the Gemara does conclude from this, however, that Amr Misharashi, but Shamit Minoah, we could infer at least from that halacha, that you are allowed to put the Big Dekuna right next to you, and that is we're not concerned that even though you're passing gaz, which is not something appropriate next to Devar Mishabek Dusha, but we do allow it to be next to your head in spite of that, and therefore Tefillin Minat Sad, if someone wants to put his Tefillin next to him when he's sleeping, obviously we see Shapar Dami, that's okay, although one cannot pass gaz while wearing Tefillin. However, to put it right next to his head, even though his physical body will be passing gas, it's not a problem. It's not disrespectful in the sense of having the tefillin right next to you. When you're doing that, as we see by the Big Dekuna, as long as it's not under your head or wearing it, where you're not having hanah from it, when you're not doing the avayda, as we're saying, it's not a raya, it could be you not have hanah, but you could still have it next to your head, and it's not considered disrespectful that during your sleeping, a person might be passing gas.